Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus in whatever you're going through today. I'll tell you what you're going through today. It's November, the month where we celebrate Thanksgiving. We're grateful to God for the blessings that He's given. And so during this month of November, our youth pastor, Jason Turner, will be bringing us a series called Real Gratitude. And he'll be talking about what defines gratitude in our lives. Is your life marked by gratitude? Is mine? Let's listen to what Pastor Jason shows us in God's Word about being grateful.
We're doing a series this month on gratitude. Now, being November, why do you guys think we would do a series on gratitude? Thanksgiving, that's right, that's right. First blank on your page, we're going to get you guys started up. You guys that are following along on your live event Bible app, you have the same blank there. But the first blank is the third Thursday in November. Thanksgiving. All right, so I've done kind of an informal poll with some of our church staff members and some of our production team about whether or not they like Thanksgiving. And probably about 3 out of 4 said that they like Thanksgiving. But I want to ask you guys, Thanksgiving. Raise your hand in here if you enjoy the holiday of Thanksgiving. All right, quite a few of us. Raise your hand in here if you don't really like Thanksgiving at all. All right, we've got one young lady in the back that doesn't like Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving, and my wife can kind of attest to this a little bit maybe, but when you think about Thanksgiving, Norman Rockwell created a great picture of a traditional Thanksgiving here, and we see the turkey. Okay, so guys, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Thanksgiving, you make turkey. Christmas, you make ham. You don't have ham on Thanksgiving. I'm shouting out to Scott Smith in the room somewhere. You have both? You have both at Thanksgiving? Really? That's not one of the traditions that my family holds to. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, Mike, because I really didn't, so I can't really. But, all right, so we have the traditional Thanksgiving turkey here. But you guys, do you guys know who the Griswold family is? Yes. Clark Griswold. Yes. He usually wants every holiday. This is an awesome scene from Christmas Vacation. A lot of times I feel like I'm kind of like Clark Griswold. I want everything to be perfect. You know, I want all the traditions to be celebrated to their utmost. Raise your hand and if you're like that a little bit in here. Yeah. And Thanksgiving is one of those times of the year where we do have a lot of traditions. Don't we? Let's think about some of the traditions of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We have football, that's right, football games on. Now let's think about the meal, the centerpiece meal. Like I said, no ham on the table. Just kidding, Mike. Don't start throwing spitballs at me. We have the Thanksgiving turkey. We have cranberry sauce. Now I'm not talking about, you know, the good homemade cranberry sauce that, you know, your grandma made. I'm talking about the kind you buy in a can. And you dump it out and you cut it into slices. That's right. That. There you go. It's like Jell-O. It's like cranberry flavored Jell-O. Oh, and then you have pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie. Now here's where I really need to take a vote. Raise your hand if you like pumpkin pie better than sweet potato pie. You all are just wrong. No, I'm kidding. They're both really good, but there's just something about sweet potato pie. Oh my goodness. And then my mom makes this ho-ho cake. How many of you guys know what a ho-ho is? Like the little snack cakes. Well, she makes a whole cake. It's amazing. And that's definitely a tradition. But another tradition I think we have during Thanksgiving is we get all of our family together and we all come in together. And you guys know, you guys remember Cousin Eddie from the Griswold? Yeah, there's all of us have a Cousin Eddie. And you know, when we get family together, A lot of times, the tradition is there. There are two things kind of in our culture that you don't talk about too much when family is around, right? What's, you guys know what the first one is? Religion and politics. That's right. That's right. That's kind of how our culture has set up these kind of traditions. But guys, during this month, I want us to think about Thanksgiving. Not necessarily the holiday, but how Thanksgiving and gratitude are so connected. Because, yes, we do have a lot of traditions that we remember on the one day of the year. But I want to propose that Thanksgiving is so much more than that. Thanksgiving is our response to that which we're grateful for. Thanksgiving and gratitude is the evidence of a grateful heart. So, this morning, I want you to listen to a story. This is a story that Luke told. You guys know who Luke is, right? He wrote two of the books that we have in the Bible. This is a story he told. Follow along with me, please. Luke chapter 17. As Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We're going to pause there. Can you go back one slide? All right, so we see a couple of different things going on here. Jesus is traveling with his disciples, with his guys, and they're heading towards Jerusalem, and they see 10 men. Now, the disease of leprosy made them unclean ceremonially in the Old Testament. And they would have to form a community because they would be outcasts from the rest of society. Okay, so these 10 men were standing off at a distance. They couldn't approach anyone else because of the disease that they had. So that's why they were shouting out to Jesus. All right, let's follow along with me and let's look at the next part. He, Jesus, looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now, did Jesus say, "Okay, you're healed, now go show yourself to the priest"? No, he didn't. He just told them to go show themselves to the priest. You see, because in the Old Testament, there were certain rules and laws and traditions that people had to follow to show that they had been healed of different things. So Jesus is validating the Old Testament by commanding them to do what Leviticus told them to do. This next part is really, really big. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As they went, as they followed in obedience, as they did what Jesus asked them to do, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, how many did we start off with? Just making sure we're all on the same page. We start off with 10. All right, so one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he did four huge things here. Number one, he came back to Jesus. Number two, he shouted, he celebrated, he praised, praise God. Then he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet and he thanked him for what he had done. Now he was a Samaritan. So back in the day when Luke was telling the story, that line right there, "that man was a Samaritan," that would be like in a movie when something really exciting happens or when there's a cliffhanger and they do that dun, dun, dun. So that, picture that in your mind, okay? Because the Samaritans, they were a group that were outcasts from Jewish society. They were people who Jews considered to be lower than they were, inferior to them. You guys remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Well, this is another example of a Samaritan stepping out in faith toward Jesus Christ. All right, continue to follow along, please. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Jesus told the man, "Stand up and go. your faith has healed you. Not 10 were healed, but only one came back. Next blank on your page, we see that 9 didn't come back. And when we kind of think about our culture, we think about some of the traditions that we hold to in Thanksgiving. Here's a good way to get us all on the same page. What is the day after Thanksgiving called? Black Friday. Black Friday. It's almost become a holy day in and unto itself. Black Friday. But with these 9 that didn't come back, I mean, maybe there's no reason to come back. It's the next blank on your page there. Maybe there's no reason to come back. Because I think in our traditions, we have a lot of things that people choose to come back to. As you guys may have realized this past week, a 108-year curse was broken as the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. And look at these guys. It's amazing to see how they respond in worship based on what just happened. Look at that. Also, this upcoming Tuesday, we have an event that happens here in our culture that has got people very passionate, right? All right, so look at these people. They seem to be pretty passionately standing behind their purported leader or the person they want to win the election, but equally so in this picture, people who are really excited about their choice of a presidential candidate. Okay? Now, we're not talking about politics, but really, I want you to look at these people's faces. They are completely bought in and support these people and these traditions so much that they'll do anything to be there. I guess a good way for all of us to look at this, when we see that the 10 were healed, 9 didn't come back, but only one did. A good question, and this is the next blank on your page, are we the 9 or are we the 1? Are we the 9 or are we the 1? Because I want to, guys, tradition is beautiful if it's done for the right reasons. To remember the reason why you celebrate something is key. But if you get caught up in doing something just because we've always done it that way before, when you don't really understand the heart behind the reason you do what you do, then you're missing the point completely. I believe that God commands and calls us to a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving each and every day. Honestly, guys, if it weren't for God, none of us would be here right now. If it weren't for Him sustaining our lives, where would we be? Where would we be? So, I want to share my story with you guys. I want to share with you what Jesus did to radically change my life and why I've become a person who tries my best to live with a spirit of gratitude. So, baseball, raise your hands in here if you're a baseball fan. Oh yeah, God's favorite game. Just kidding, Noah, he likes soccer too. I'm just kidding, buddy. But I love baseball. I played baseball from the time I was 5 all the way up through a senior in high school. And I wanted to stay around the game. I wasn't good enough to play in college, but I knew I wanted to be around the game. So I got an associate's degree in turf grass management. And I worked for a couple different, it's a real degree. Thank you for laughing at me, Annie. It's a real degree, okay? So I got to work on the grounds crew of several different golf courses, and I was the assistant superintendent of a minor league baseball field for a season. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. You work 80 or 90 hours a week during the season when you've got home games, but I just felt like that's what I wanted to do with my life. But God had a different plan. He had a higher calling. See, I had been exposed to Christianity at an earlier age. I had, you know, walked the aisle, cried the tear, prayed the prayer, got my fire insurance, and I thought I was good to go. I thought I could live my life really however I wanted to. I just knew that someday, you know, when I went from here to over there, I was good because, you know, I'd prayed the prayer. But at the age of 22, I was feeling really, really lethargic, and I had a headache, and I'm really nauseous, and my left eye was actually turning inward. It was really crazy, and I was having double vision. So I went to go see an ophthalmologist, and based on a test that they did, she told me I needed to go to the emergency room and have a CAT scan, done immediately, because she saw something that scared her. So I went and I had that done, and I was kind of nervous, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. So I was sitting here and my mom was sitting there in the room in the emergency room, and the doctor walked through the door and said, "Jason, I've got some pretty serious news. You have a malignant brain tumor." And I can't explain why or how even today, but I knew in that moment that God, there was something going on, that God wasn't done with me yet. That God had a bigger plan for my life than just what I wanted. And it was really neat. I had just kind of a peace about it. And it's really unexplainable. So through chemotherapy and radiation, and through that whole experience, I was able to come back like that one leper did. I was able to reconcile my relationship with my parents. God led me to the place where I met my wonderful wife. But because I came back, I realized, and I don't know about you guys, I fully believe that sometimes God has to take a person to his lowest point, their absolutely lowest point, before they're prepared to look up to him, to look back in thanksgiving, to see that the reason that we were put here, and guys, no matter what culture tells you, no matter what you've heard, scripture tells us that we were all put here to glorify God. Now, God calls each and every one of us and equips us in different ways and uses us in different people's lives at different people's times for different reasons. And that's all beautiful. And through that, we all fulfill God's purpose for our lives. But I think that we miss out oftentimes. I miss out oftentimes when I get caught up in the traditions of doing things, you know? Because, man, when I look at my life, when I look at the family that God's provided for me and that wonderful woman back there in the back, okay. You're clapping for him, not for me, because I haven't done any of it. Man, so thankful. So thankful and grateful for that. You know? But we lose sight. We often lose sight. And guys, this morning, I don't know what your story is. I don't. But I do know that we have, next blank on your page, we all have a shared story. We all have a shared story. You know, and Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, "Once at one time, you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." But guys, when we were all born wanting our own way. Like me, I wanted to be the superintendent of a baseball field. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's what I wanted. If God is calling any of you to be the superintendent of a Major League Baseball team, remember to really wet down the infield if the Braves are playing them so it slows the ball. Okay, I'm sorry, I went off. I slipped into my old nature there a little bit. Sorry. But that was just not God's will for my life. And I was disobedient in that. I was living in my old nature. You used to live in sin, Paul tells us, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. That's all of us. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our own sinful nature. By our very nature, guys, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Let's pause right there. Let's hit the pause button. In our old nature, we were subject to God's anger because God can't be in the presence of anything but perfection. But perfection. You know, and I was really trying my best. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing when I was seeking my career, seeking my status, seeking my way in life. I thought that I was okay with God because what I was doing wasn't hurting anyone. I wanted it my way. And I, just like all of us, were subject to God's anger because God can't be in the presence of anything that doesn't come in line with who he is. But, we see in the next verse, but God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, even though we were dead, he gave us life when he raised Christ up from the dead. If you're not thankful for that, whoo, come on. We were dead. What does a dead person really have to be thankful for? Not a whole lot, right? He gave us life through Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ came, he said, Dad, I've got this. He lived a perfect, sinless life because he knew that we couldn't. None of us in here. When we try to put our good works to prove ourselves to God, to get God to love us more. Even that, think about this with me for a second. Even our good works are an extension of our selfishness. Because really, who thinks that they're good? Either us or the world, that's the reason we're doing it. But Jesus says, you call me good, but only God is good. Only God is the arbitrator of what's good and perfect. And what God has chosen to be good and perfect is perfect submission to him. And that's how Jesus Christ lived here on this earth. He lived the life that we couldn't live. And he died the death that we couldn't die, to be raised from the grave, to live in us now. Because guys, listen, there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. But guess what? There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Jesus Christ lives for you now when you choose, like that one grateful leper, to turn back to him, to praise him, to fall down at his feet and be thankful to him. Last blank on your page. Am I living in grateful response to God? Based on all of this, all that we've seen, how can we not be thankful to God? How can we not see everything that he's given to us? Dads, granddads, look into the eyes of your children and your grandchildren. Those are gifts. Steward those gifts well. Singles, look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, the one that has given his life so that we can live for his glory and fall in love with him. Students, look to your parents and all that they have provided for you. God has put them there in your lives for a reason, to lead you closer to him. Guys, I'm so excited about what we're going to be able to roll out in our next service. But God has just awoken my heart to be grateful, to have a thankful heart about each and every aspect of our lives. How can we not respond with a thankful heart?
Hey, thanks for listening to Jason's message. I hope it was a blessing to you. If you are going to be in Ellijay on December the 24th, we would love for you to celebrate Christ's birthday with us at our 8th annual Christmas Eve service. It's going to be at 4 p.m. and this year we're doing something really special. Instead of having our Christmas Eve service in our church auditorium, we're going to return to the Ellijay Elementary School Auditorium, where we're going to have our biggest ever Christmas Eve celebration. It will be open to anybody of all ages and all walks of life. And I hope you'll join us on Christmas Eve. It's at 4 o'clock. If you want details, you can get them on our website. That's orchardellijay.com. I hope to see you then. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.